Early Christians were very, very expectant about second coming of Jesus. They were always excited, knowing the fact that he will come again. So they were always occupied in their thoughts, in their conversation, and also in their actions. All they did showed that they were expecting that Christ will return. And whenever they came together, whenever they met, they kissed each other and greeted. Greeted with an Aramaic word which was made of two Aramaic words. Maranatha means the Lord is at hand. And as they were departing again, they gave a hug to each other and they said, Maranatha. And that idea of God is coming again was taken into them so much that the regular Jewish greeting of Shalom was replaced by Maranatha. So rather than saying Shalom, they said, Maranatha, the Lord is coming, the Lord is at hand. And that is the same subject Paul is talking today to his fellow people. And he reminds them that the Lord is coming. And he says, therefore, be expectant. Sober up. Wake up. Because he is coming. Because we do not know when he comes. We know that he is coming, but we do not know exactly when he will come back again. It is clearly written in the scripture in a different places that we do not know. And yet, many Christians are busy doing calculations, trying to think when he will come. Jesus clearly said that that hour, no one knows, but only Father knows it. So that's why, rather than doing calculations, we need to be ready. That's what Paul is telling them. Be ready, because he will come without warning, like a thief in the night. Suddenly, like a labor pain upon a pregnant woman. He gives them two examples. And particularly, I like the example of this pregnant woman. In normal pregnancy, the labor pain doesn't come in second month of her pregnancy or the third month of pregnancy. The labor pain comes in a due time when both the bodies are ready. A body in her ready to come out and her body to bring that body out. So in fullness of time, that labor pain comes. But we do not know exactly. Even the woman does not know when it will come. But it will come suddenly. And similarly, the second coming of Christ will happen suddenly, but in fullness of time, when everything is right, he will come. As we are talking about pregnant women, I cannot stop thinking about another pregnant woman, a young pregnant woman called Mary, mother of our Lord Jesus Christ. It was written in the scripture again and again that a virgin will give birth and she will have a son and he will be the Savior. Again and again, in different ways, in different places, in different time, it was mentioned that he will come. And yet, when he came, many did not recognize him. Many did not receive him. And many remained ignorant. Similarly, the way it was written that he will come, it is also written that he will come back again. The way he came as a child, came, and we sang that beautiful song that the way he died and rose again, and he has gone up, and he will come back again. The way in the right time he came as a baby, similarly, in the right time, he will come back again. And this time, we cannot afford to be ignorant. So therefore, Paul is urging all Christians, those who follow Christ, to be alert, be watchful, and be vigilant. I still want you to keep that image of a pregnant woman in your mind. There are many ways people sort of mention and describe pregnant women. And one word they sometimes use, or many of us use, expecting mother. When we see a pregnant woman, we don't say, that's not, I think, is the right word. But many, you know, nicely we say, that is expecting mother. And when you see that expecting mother, she knows that she's pregnant. She knows that she's expecting. And so therefore, whatever she does carefully. She's very watchful what she eats. She very carefully watches what she drinks and how much she drinks. She very carefully chooses what to wear and what not to wear. Very carefully, she moves around. Her movement also is influenced by her pregnancy. What does that mean? That means every aspect of her life is influenced by her pregnancy. And she cannot separate her pregnancy and her daily living. So similarly, as a follower of Christ, as a Christian, every aspect of our life must be influenced by the second coming of Christ. Because that's what we are expecting. Our hope that he will come back again. That's what we are carrying. That's what we are expecting. And if we are expecting, then we must be careful. What we eat, what we drink, the way we eat, the way we wear our clothes, the way we act, the way we interact, the way we move around, everything must be influenced by his second coming. As Paul continued to encourage his friends, he says, don't be like them. The words he used, them and us. Them and us. We read in verse 1, 2, and 3. He writes that, now, brothers and sisters, about times and dates, we, that is us, do not need to write to you, for you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While they are sleeping, peace and saying peace and safety, destruction will suddenly come upon them as a labor pain on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. The language he is using, them and us. He is very clearly separating the followers of Christ and the people of this world. He further continues the same language in verse 4, 5, and 6. He says, they are the children of darkness. We are the children of light. They do not expect, but we are expecting that he will come. They are asleep, but we are awakened. So therefore, he says, don't be like them. Don't be like them. Be different. Live a life that is different than them, those who are in the world. Rather than making compromises, take a stand, take a courage, be different. The age we live, the world we live in, has so much to throw at us. There are so many ways they want us to be like them. But if we are truly a follower of Christ, we will examine everything. And on every thing, we will make our decision. And that will make us different from them. And what really makes us different, Paul mentions that few things that makes us different from them. Verse 8, he says, but since we belong to the day, children of light, let us be sober. He says, put on faith and love as a breastplate, and hope of a salvation as a helmet. So Paul says, by using faith, your hope, and your love, you will make yourself different than them. Because the world has no faith. Because the world has no love. The definition of their love is different than the definition of love that Christ has given us. They have no hope. But we are children of hope. So he says, have these elements. And if you know Paul's writing, he highlights these three elements in all his writing. Many of you would know 1 Corinthians chapter 13. He writes about love. But at the end, he highlights, and in the last verse of that Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13, he says that now these three remains: faith, hope, and love. These three things are very important for Paul. And he says, have them, hold them in your life. That will make you different from them. By faith, you will live. By faith, you will fight your inner battle. All that enemy is throwing at you, all the doubt that is creating in you, you will fight that with your faith. So have a faith. But again, in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, Paul also gives a little bit about faith. And he says, how does faith come? And he tells there, faith comes from the hearing the word of God, by listening his word. So if we want to have that faith in us, we must read the gospel. We must listen to the gospel. We must share the gospel. Word is very important. Our Bible is very important. The scripture is very important, because that's by reading that, it creates faith in us. And also it eliminates the doubt that gets created in our mind. Then he says, you can have a love. And with love, again I said, the love that is different than the world. Understand love, what it is. Paul says, have that love. With love, he says, engage with your neighbor. With the community you're living around. With the people, those who are around. Love them. Verse 11, he tells how you can use love. He says, by comforting, by encouraging, and by edifying each other, you can express your love. So have that love. Encourage each other, those who are around us, those who we worship each other, worship together in this place. We can encourage each other. We can help each other. We can edify each other. And Paul says, do that by having a faith, having a love, and having a hope. The hope, he says, the hope is like a helmet. And that is a helmet of a salvation. We have a hope in Christ. In Christ we stand here in righteousness, because he saves us. He saves us. And that is our hope, that he will come back again and take us with him. So Paul very clearly reminds us, you and me, as a follower of Christ, we live in the world with expectation that he will come again. He tells us to be different than the people of this world. And he tells us to use these three important elements: faith, love, and hope. And above all, he says, sober up, be alert, and be watchful. Because we do not know when he will come. Maranatha was a word that reminded them every time they said that Christ is at hand, that he will come, and he will come at any time. Maranatha reminds us to keep our eyes upon eternal thing. Maranatha means God is at hand. Our Lord is coming. So to those who are asleep today, Maranatha. To those who are ignorant today, Maranatha. To those who are discouraged today, Maranatha. To those who are filled with anxiety over problems they are facing, Maranatha. Our Lord is coming. The Lord is at hand. So be sober up, be alert, and be watchful. Let's pray.